I have assumed that the master seminary, because I saw faithful men come from the seminary that have deeply impacted me. Some that were renowned like John MacArthur and others that aren't as renowned like Joe Fant, who preached in such a way that, you know, captivated my attention, helped me understand the text, and faithfully applied the text to my life in a way that I feel like is standard for a lot of TMS guys. And I wanted to learn how to do that as well.
You know, what I love most about my training here at the Master's Seminary is that you don't just get to learn the theoretical information in the class, but you get to be part of Grace Community Church here on campus. And the other thing that I really appreciate is the interaction with the professors themselves, so the staff and the faculty. These are men of integrity, men of humility, and you can just tell that they are invested in your soul and invested in your long-term future as well.
I love the atmosphere on campus. I love the interaction with the professors and the teachers and the staff. I love the way the Master's Seminary is so intentional about everything they do. There's a genuine concern for passing on the call that they have been called to, which is 2 Timothy 2:2, to pass on the things and the knowledge that they know to us. And you feel it, you know that these men, they take their call seriously.
Hebrew exegesis is my favorite class probably in all of seminary. And that's because going through the exegetical process, just the process of writing and researching and doing the exegetical work necessary to discern the meaning of the text, I think getting to the end of the process and knowing for sure that this is what God's word says with certainty, that's one of the big reasons why I love the class.
I've really enjoyed taking a Greek class here and just being able to go ahead and get into the original languages, both Greek and Hebrew. I called my wife and my kids over to our couch in our living room, and I opened up for the very first time, and I read my wife and my children Genesis 1:1 from the Hebrew directly. And it's been such a blessing to see the depth of scripture and to see the depth of what the original languages can help you learn.
I would love to use my training here and the tools that I get here for a faithful life of preaching in the local church. I think everything that I learn here, I want to be able to give back to the local church.
I have become increasingly convinced that the training here and anywhere really is for the church. The church exists so that men who are qualified but also equipped can serve God's way and serve in a way that makes a mark for eternity.
If you're even thinking about attending the Master's Seminary, I would encourage you to reach out and start gathering the information and start moving in that direction. You will be blessed beyond measure, and you will have a fulfillment in your life that you can get no other way. And so I would encourage you to step out and do that, answer that call.
There's a couple other people that came in. All right. So I trust that's all of you guys. What are you laughing for? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. And pray that it'd be useful, it'd be a benefit to us. And God, that you would use our church to raise godly, convinced men who are eager to serve, make your word known, and see your spirit use it in the lives of your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I always tell everyone who considers seminary, go there. Quit your job. You can find one there. You'll find one after. Sell your house. It's not impossible. Move there. Because if you do what we're going to talk about this morning, you don't get to be part of Grace Community Church. You don't get as much interaction with the professors, and it is not as ideal as would otherwise be if you were actually there on campus. What we're going to talk about this morning is the TMS mentor model, and that is where you're still a part of a great church that we all know and love, which is Grace Bible Church. And you do all of your training online, and your pastoral ministry classes are mentored with me. That'd be one a semester. But from the beginning, quit your job, sell your house, move there, get your education for 3 years. Most guys can do it in 3 years, and then go and be a pastor where the Lord calls you to do that. If you can't, now we'll get into our class. How do you discern a call to ministry? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. Thank you. Just for my own curiosity, how many of you are here because you are actually interested in TMS, mentor model? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7, 8, 9. Okay. And the rest of you, I'm going to try to convince. All right, discerning a call to ministry. Guys will ask a lot, and I'll have several conversations. How do you know if you're called to ministry? And there, it's very simple. It's not complicated. It's not ethereal. It's simple. Do you want to do it? Are you qualified to do it? And does the church recognize your gifting? It's that simple. Number one, do you desire to do it? You can see right here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. What does he say? It's a trustworthy saying, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, he what? Desires a good work. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you want to do something else more, do that other thing. But if you long to be a pastor, if you long for ministry, that's the first step. You say, how do I know if I do actually desire it? Do you love the truth of God's word and do you want to teach it? This desire he's talking about is not like, yeah, it kind of be nice, I guess. It's not like, I guess it'd be fine. You are passionate about the word of God. You long for God's people to know his word and you want to be the one to serve them. This is not about a position of power. This is not about a position of influence for your own selfish ends. This is a desire to see God's word ministered to God's people so that they can live by it. And so that's the second thing. Do you love God's people and want them to know God's word so that they can live by it? That's how you know that you actually desire the ministry. Now, a lot of guys will desire something. Some of them desire the influence of ministry. Some of them desire the position of ministry. They don't desire the ministry itself. Eventually, that makes itself known later on in their ministry. But then that comes down to the next thing. Are you willing to put in the hard work required? Are you willing to count the cost? If you count the cost, you know the word, you love it, you desire to make it known, then you have a desire for ministry. This is what Paul is talking about. You desire. Second thing, second kind of a stool, second leg on your three-legged stool is, are you biblically qualified? Are you biblically qualified? So we'll look at Titus, and we'll try to do this briefly. Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And character is king. Character is king when it comes to pastoral ministry. You can be gifted. You can be affirmed by the church. You can have all of the accolades and following. And if your character is subpar, you're not called to ministry. You're not qualified to be a pastor. He starts here in verse 5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you may set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, If any man is beyond reproach, the husband of one wife. Now, this is the first kind of aspect. It's the personal and sexual integrity. Personal and sexual integrity. Is there anything that someone can accuse you of that would stick? That's the question. Is there anything that someone would accuse you of that can stick? And then secondly, and if you come to me and ask, should I be a pastor? Should I go to seminary? I'm going to ask you this question to your face. When is the last time you looked at pornography? Because very clearly, Paul says, if you want to be a pastor, you must be qualified. And if you've looked at pornography recently, let's wait. Because you're a one-woman man. One-woman man. You have a wife. Your affections are for her. And you're bringing all other perverse affections under the authority of your exclusive affection for her. So that's personal and sexual integrity. Then he brings in your family leadership, having faithful children who are not accused of dissipation or rebellious. And so we look at your family. Are you raising your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? You're the one to be faithfully instructing them. You're the one to be faithfully disciplining them, seeing that they are disciplined. And that discipline has two forms. There is a formative discipline where you're instructing them in good habits and you're helping them to develop as a godly man who does right things. And then there's corrective discipline where you're identifying folly in their life and through your spanking, you are helping get that out of their heart. So are you doing those things faithfully? It's your responsibility to lead them to Christ with what you say, how you protect them from their own foolishness, and then how you model godliness for them. Family leadership and then general character. He gets into five negatives here. He's not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain. Six positives. He's hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled. And then the only skill that you're necessary to have is to teach. And it's a propensity to teach. It's the willingness to teach. It's the want to teach. Seeing the value in the teaching. It's the ability to study the text, come to right conclusions about it, and then communicate it with clarity so that people are saved and sanctified. Many people have come in the church wanting to teach. Some of them have even been fairly skilled in it. But if you don't have the character that is outlined above, then you're not going to get the responsibility of teaching in the church. That's just what it comes down to. Flip over to 1 Timothy. And he adds some to what Titus gives. We're not going to go over all the same ones that Titus gave, but he adds temperate, respectable, in verses 1 through 7, considerate, peaceable, free from the love of money, which obviously goes not fond of sordid gain, but free from the love of money, not a new convert, and has a good reputation with outsiders. And so if you're interested in ministry, what we'll do is set up a time, you come to my office and we'll open the scriptures and we're just going to walk point by point through all of those qualifications. Some of you have already done that. And we'll just see, are you qualified in this area? We know this is not perfection. We know that there's going to be room for improvement in all of these. If you don't think there is, that disqualifies you. And so it's a matter of you have met a level where everybody in the church could say, I want to be like that guy, and it would be good for them. It'd be good for them. They'd be able to follow Christ if they were to say that. So that's the second thing. Number one, do you desire? Do you actually want the ministry of the word? And number two, you're qualified for it. As you make your way honestly through the text, can you say, I am above reproach in these areas? If you say no, it's not a full disqualification for life. It may be, or it may be, let's wait and see what the Spirit does through his word in your heart. And then third, this is the last leg. If you don't have any of these, obviously you're sitting on the ground. If you don't have one of these, it's going to fall over. So you got to have all of them. Does the church affirm your gifting? You may desire it, and you may have the character that is in accord with pastoral ministry. But if the church doesn't affirm your gifting, you're not called to ministry. As much as you want it, as much as you think that an angel from God told you you need to be a pastor, you shouldn't be a pastor. And so what does it mean to be affirmed? Just very simply, the church recognizes pastors. The church recognizes pastors. Pastors don't make themselves pastors, and churches don't make pastors. The church recognizes men who are already doing the work and conform to the points above. That's what the church does. It recognizes men who have the desire, who have the character, and who have the skill to do it. And when those are all met, you get to sit without falling over in your stool. You could be called to ministry, and I would say, if all of those are strong propensities in your life, you ought to go into ministry. And you may be being disobedient if you're not. So, why do we choose to partner with TMS? I'm just going to go through several of the kind of philosophies that they're coming at their educational, their theological education with. And then we'll get into some of the details, and I'll leave time for questions for you guys afterwards. So educational priorities. Seminary offers biblical, theological, professional education designed to equip men for effective ministry to Christ's body, primarily, and this is why we love the program, through the local church. They are committed to the local church. And so they're trying to accomplish these things: careful instruction in the scriptures, including the original languages. This is what you're going to get when you go through the program. The study of various systems of theological thought, including exposure to both past and present movements in history, Christian missions, with a view to embracing a comprehensive, coherent theology built from the scripture. A consistent focus upon involvement and accountability within a local church. Ongoing efforts to challenge each student in developing biblical philosophy and style of ministry. And the development and improvement of communication, relationship, leadership, administrative skills for ministry. The objective is to produce graduates who are recognized as men of God, who are equipped to serve effectively as pastors, missionaries, teachers, evangelists, counselors, and leaders in evangelical ministries around the world. So this is what we're excited about. We have three guys who are already have applied. Rob has applied, a couple of our elders, Chris, JT, several other guys, as you can see, are interested in it. And so what we want to see is God use us to raise godly, faithful pastors, some who are going to stay and pastor here, others that we're going to bring back fairly regularly so that they can give updates on the ministry that they're doing in some other part of the world. That's what we want to look forward to as a church. We want guys coming from Cameroon who are like, here's the ministry that we're doing, here are the elders that we've raised, here's the ministry that's happening, look at the baptisms that we're doing. People are giving their life through the ministry that we're doing. And we think back to maybe this class right now, and we're like, he was here in that class, and the Lord sent him to seminary to be equipped, and then to that place to serve, and now we get to celebrate together on a Wednesday night and pray for the blessing of his ministry. That's what we want to see, and that's what they're about. That's why we love the opportunity to partner with them. Here are their training distinctives. Okay, so the seminary community and curriculum are designed with the following goals and ideals in view. Excellence in academics to be cultivated in an attitude of spiritual devotion. Sometimes seminary is called cemetery because guys' souls go there to die. And they are actively working against that. You are going to get an academically rigorous experience, but it's going to be with the desire to cultivate in you an attitude of spiritual devotion to the Lord. And that's something that I can attest to being there. The professors do it. The whole program is geared around it. And their philosophy, the design of their program, has it built into it. And that's where the mentor model comes in, is that your pastoral ministry classes require you to sit down together with me, and we're going to talk over ministry for at least an hour every single week. And we're going to go over all the things that you're learning. You're going to have the opportunity to minister that here. So the essential focus of all study in the seminary is to be biblical, exegetical, theological, expositional, and practical. Though other viewpoints are given careful consideration, the emphasis to be positive in building upon the certainties of God's inerrant word. This is one of the excellent aspects of TMS. You're going to understand what the questions are, but then they're going to help you see how the scripture directs you to this clear understanding. There's no hemming and hawing. Obviously, some pastors are going to be more difficult to understand than others. Nobody's going to deny that. But when it comes to those often debated but clear doctrines, which are oftentimes our doctrinal distinctives here at the church, there's not going to be, well, this says this, and you can take whichever. It's like, he says this, here's why they're wrong, here's what the scripture says, and now hold this right doctrine with a peaceful heart. That's why the qualities, the characteristics of a pastor matter. Because when you're right, you need to be right in the right way. And that's what they're going to help you to do. Personal objectives. I'm just going to skip over several of these. We've already gone through them. Character. You got to be godly. You should be caring, generous, wise, discerning, mature, secure, disciplined, accountable, humble, purposeful, empathetic, and teachable. You should be a loving and responsible husband and father. His heart should be moved by the compassion of Christ for others. Readily acknowledge his own failures and deal honestly and humbly with the sin in his own heart. Should be one who establishes genuine, God-centered relationships with a wide range of people, encouraging and exhorting them according to their need in the mutual pursuit of God. Getting out hospitality there. Knowledge, you should have a general comprehension of the entirety of God's written revelation and should have developed a well-formulated theological framework which adequately synthesizes the biblical and historical data. So, you should know what the scripture says, and you should be able to make that clear to the people who come to you with questions. If you can't in the moment, you should say, hold on, I'll go get an answer for you. You should be able to address the contemporary cultural and a biblical worldview, to address contemporary culture with a biblical worldview and confront unbiblical religious and philosophical thought in defending the Christian faith. He should know himself, including his strengths, weaknesses, responsibilities, and people skills. And then in his ability, he should be able to articulate biblical philosophy of ministry that balances principles of worship, prayer, exposition, edification, discipleship, lead with conviction, teach with authority, preach with passion, be able to make decisions, to motivate, to listen, to empathize, to set priorities, to defend the faith. should know how to lead in church activities, administer church ordinances, conduct the services and ceremonies of the church in a God-focused manner. So this is just a sampling of what they're intending to instruct you in, developing you in, equipping you for. I took this directly from the website. Educational parameters. To adhere unswervingly to the founding purpose of training pastors to shepherd and equip Christ's church. To keep the Master Seminary faithful to its biblical foundations. All biblical content is to be based on God's inerrant word and developed through the exegetical process. The curriculum must constantly reflect scriptural absolutes to avoid deviation from God's truth. To enrich faculty leadership, every member of this Master Seminary faculty fits a fivefold profile in that they are all men of God, men of the Word, men of scholarship, men of Christ Church, and men of compassion. So these are the guys that you'll be learning from. One class that you'll do is your pastoral ministry class. You'll still be instructed online through that class, and then it will be mentored through me. So I'm not teaching the class. We're talking about the things that you're learning, helping you to apply those in ministry, that kind of stuff. But you're going to be learning, and not that I'm trying to separate myself from any of that, but you're going to be learning from men like this. To insist on an educational philosophy that is consistent with Scripture, by majoring on biblical certainty, not doubt or theory, striving for spirituality in the Master Seminary students, not intellectualism alone, preparing men to serve the Lord, not merely to know about the Lord, emphasizing a methodical, disciplined approach to the study of Scripture rather than using a haphazard approach, encouraging excellence and never accepting mediocrity, expecting the faculty to be examples, not merely experts, stressing the imperative to function in the body of Christ, not merely function as an individual. And then to emphasize the well-articulated goals of the Master Seminary, both personal and pastoral, they're seeking to cultivate a holy, intimate relationship between every student and God, to produce compassionate men who have gracious relationships with others, and to study God's word with precision, to speak God's message with power, to serve God's purpose with zeal, to shepherd God's flock with care, to fight God's battle with courage. So that is their goals. That's why we're excited that a handful of guys are already planning to do it. And we wanted to let those of you who might be interested in it know about it so that you could either join them now or at some point in the future. I did just give you some practical things there in your handout. So this is what you can expect from the curriculum. If you're going to go full time, it'll be 4 years. And they don't recommend you do longer than 6 years. What he was talking to me about is the cumulative effect of your study. Oftentimes, what's happening is that your classes are building on each other. And so if you take a class 10 years ago and you're taking a class that's building on that now because you've taken so long, you'll have forgotten a lot of what that class is intended to build on. And so they want you to take these within a 4 to 6 year time frame. And they've allowed you to do that. Either you can do it in semesters or you can do it all year, kind of pare it down. And you can see all of the classes, 98 units of Bible exposition, Old Testament course, New Testament courses, theology courses, pastoral ministry courses, Hebrew and Greek grammar and exegesis, introduction to the New Testament and Old Testament. Oftentimes that's the hardest class. They put that at the end. They say introduction, but you're talking about all the technical stuff of New Testament and Old Testament. And then, yeah, you have a schedule there. One is 4 years and the other is 6 years. And so you can see, you can take that home and you'll see those different classes. Now, if you are interested in doing it, I can send you the book list for all of those courses. They did ask us not to distribute widely the content that's only available for students. But if you're interested in that, I can send that over to you, and you can get a head start on it. Cost. All right, cost is a major factor, obviously. And the mentor model program is $580 per unit. You need 98 units, which totals to $56,840 over the course of 4 to 6 years. That totals at $14,210 per year. GBC does have the Jim McCall Scholarship Fund, which pays for $300 per class, which would get you somewhere around the $3,000 per year. And there are other scholarships available through the seminary. So that's the top price, and then it comes down from there. And depending on your situation and that, it could be significantly less, but that would be the price of it. The application process, I thought I had it here. I guess I forgot in my room. Very simple though. You apply online. Do I have it? Nope. Rob can answer any questions that you have. You apply online, you give them references, you give them your testimony, those types of things. What else, Rob? Give them just a
personal
quick
info, yep. Testimony.
Your wife.
Desire and like how you discerned your call to ministry. Your wife's information.
Recommendation,
your
right?
My wife is a recommender.
Yep.
So she's gonna have to fill that out. And then there's an option for the pastor recommendation. If you're gonna be the mentor, then that's typically you, because I put Serge, and they were like, why aren't you that? It's the same one.
Yeah.
You were getting two. And then two others. You go over, and then they list out like each of the qualifications,
right?
First Timothy and Titus, and saying, are you this? Explain. Are you this? Explain.
Yep.
Deadline for the fall is June 1st. For the spring, I think, is November.
And then I also apply to be mentored, did that, and was accepted to that. So now what they'll do is send me your name, and then I check a box saying, yes, I'll agree to mentor him. So what we want to do is gather as many people as want to do it, in particular this first group, and what we would do is have all of you guys kind of doing that together. We'd figure out a time where we meet as a group to do that mentor aspect of it. And then the other thing, and there are several things that make this not ideal. One is the lack of professor interaction. When you're on campus, you just get to go up to them at the end of class and ask them whatever question you want. When you're not, then you email them and you wait for them to have time to respond back to you. And then the other thing is the classmate interaction. When you're there at seminary together, then you get to interact with everybody at your apartment. There are a lot of places where several seminary guys are staying in that apartment complex, and their families are getting to know each other, their wives are getting to know each other, you're developing really close friends. And so the way that we're trying to mitigate against that is developing as many guys as want to do it, and then getting them together and having as much of that as we can. So you can apply for that. It's all online, and they'll email me when you do. Yeah, Kev.
The wife application, the wife part that's part of the application, application process?
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't have a wife,
yeah, they won't do that.
What would be, okay.
Nothing. No. Yep, just your regular pastoral ones. Any questions? Got about 5 minutes. Yeah, Chris.
Is it online or you have to go to a campus?
Yeah, it's all online. So you would you can do it on your own at home.
You gotta have a computer?
You gotta have a computer.
I have a computer, yes.
Yep. And it is you want to just hit those lights real quick? I'll give you a quick where's my mouse? There we go. So this is what the online class will be like. There will be
Tell me, what is marriage? Yeah. And all of a sudden, their perception of what marriage is then comes out. What is marriage? I'm a Martian. I don't know anything about marriage. What is it? What's it supposed to be? Our number 17. As you view marriage, what are 7 or 8 important elements that make marriage what it ought to be? What would you like to strengthen, that is, in your marriage? How do you think that these elements could be strengthened in your marriage? Those are questions from a problem-centered view. There's 17 questions to dig that out in terms of the problem-centered view. Now let me stop just for a moment and see if you have any questions to those of you that are in the class, just for a moment here. Questions that you have in right now about this. Because we want to move on to questions on a more positive perspective. But this is actually dealing with the problem that they've come in and they've presented to you. I think you can see how these questions can be helpful. And they actually dig out a lot of data. And if you listen carefully to that data, it'll give you very, very clear and sharp clues as to what's going on in that marriage and what's going on in the individual hearts of that husband and that wife, or even oftentimes in the parenting that's happening in that home. Yes.
Of questions, so would you recommend posting these questions to them and having them answer them beforehand so that you can think through you know their responses ahead of time? Or do you think there's a it's critical that you see the you know their body language as,
yeah.
as they respond to these questions?
Yeah, the question is there's so many questions here, would you post them ahead of time? Usually I wouldn't do this. I would work through them individually with the couple. There have been occasions where I've sent them home in one.
All right, so that just gives you a little preview of what it's like. And we would welcome you to do that here in that new room that we created in the gym together. But you're welcome to do that at home whenever you like, when the family goes to bed, before the family wakes up, that kind of thing. Yeah, what are the questions? Yeah.
Aside from the fact that it's super awesome that like we're getting involved as a church with them particularly, that to me is humongous, you know.
Yeah.
Aside from that, what makes them particularly like what would you say makes them particularly stand out as why you chose them or them over other past or schools? I'm curious.
It was the only one I looked at. I went there, attended Grace Community Church. I was like, why should I do anything else?
Okay, yeah. Grace went.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yep. That's it.
Cool.
A lot of great other schools. And these guys went. Serge went to Southern. Mark took some classes at Southern.
Wow.
Great schools. Great schools. Yeah.
You dig them and you went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Jeff?
Which degree program would this be for the MBA?
So all the programs are the same. It depends on what you go in with. So if you go in with 0 undergraduate credit, you're going to come out with a diploma. You're going to go through the exact same MDiv program. if you go in with a with some bachelor classes but not the degree, you'll come out with a bachelor's of theology. If you go in with a bachelor's, you're going to come out with an MDiv. So it would be the master's of divinity. If you have a bachelor's degree, you'll come out with a master's of divinity. But it's the same program. Same assignments, same reading, same instruction, everything. All right, if you guys have any other questions. Yeah, Mark, last one.
Just, you went through it. So someone who has a full-time job managing a family church, even the sixth year, you're taking three classes a term, one in winter, one in summer. It's achievable. You're not going to drown.
Oh, you'll drown. You'll feel like you're drowning. No, you'll have a life preserver on. Yeah, but yeah, it's doable. Yeah, I think it's doable. You're just going to have to be an extra disciplined individual. Yeah, that's what it requires. It'll be added responsibility, and with that comes the necessity for added discipline. Just like anything else at work, same thing. When you're working 12-hour days, you just have to fit things in there in ways that, you know, other guys might have more flexibility for that amount of time. And you just have to see it as this. It's a season of life. For that amount of time, I don't have the flexibility. Everywhere I go, I have a book. Lord, thank you so much for this time, and pray that you would lead these men. And if there are some here who ought to be pastors, pray that you'd lead them in that. And if there are some here who want to be but shouldn't, pray that you lead them away from it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.